Welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with myself, Hayden Gullis, and the amazing Amber Jones. We are three races in to the Formula One season. It has flown by. So today we're going to be discussing how that season is going so far, what are our thoughts coming into it, and how they've kind of worked out. But Amber, it's been a difficult season so far, but there is maybe a little bit of optimism on the horizon.
I actually think it's been quite exciting in terms of what everyone was expecting. And I know people have a lot of different opinions, you know, like with the last race. I thought it was quite a good race. I know you had a different opinion and many people also shared that opinion. But I just think it's because there's so much going on that we didn't expect this season. So that's why in my head, I'm like, wow, you know, where's Sainz going to go? And what's going on with Bottas and Hamilton and all these things? So for me, it's very exciting. We've also had lots of drama off the track.
Yes.
So I just think F1 at the minute is popping off, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I do think it's been quite exciting. And there's loads of drivers that you're kind of looking at. You don't know their next move. You know, are they going to stay in Formula One? Should they go to a different team? The whole Max Verstappen go to Mercedes drama. What more do you want?
I know, it's been actually a really quiet week for Formula One. In comparison to what we've had in the first three weekends of racing, you know, there's always seems to be something going on off track. But this week, I feel like everyone's just like, right, okay, we really need to take
we need a break.
We need a rest, and we'll come back stronger for the Japanese Grand Prix. But yeah, I mean, it's been exciting for the majority of races behind the leader. I think Bahrain and Saudi, there were definitely good battles going on behind Max Verstappen. I think like a lot of people just sort of judge it based on, oh, Max is winning. That was boring.
Yeah.
But without actually properly watching maybe some of the other stuff that's going on down the rest of the field. I do disagree. I do think Australia was sadly a boring race. I think it was exciting because it was a different winner. But
yeah.
I do think that other than it being a different winner, nothing really went on really sadly because, you know, we've been teed up like, oh, well, these guys love fighting behind Max Verstappen. And all of a sudden they were just like, do you know what? Today we're going to have a day off. We're not going to bother.
We're just going to chill.
Yeah.
I know. I think I remember I messaged someone after the race as well because we were chatting about it and I was like, wow, crazy. And they were like, really? I don't think that was crazy. I just think it was the excitement of, you know, Max not winning.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It just made the atmosphere and the buzz completely different.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, like maybe there is potential now for a different world champion. Or, I mean, I agree. I think potentially if we have another Max DNF or something just goes wrong for Red Bull, I do think Ferrari can come and, you know, Charles can potentially take that world champion.
Well, with that DNF, it really has closed up the championship. We've got Max Verstappen leading the way. That's no real surprise, but 51 points and only 4 points ahead of Charles Leclerc. He's on 47, Sergio Perez, 46, so 5 points behind. And then Carlos Sainz, 11 points behind on 40. And, you know, for both Max and Sainz, they've both technically missed out on a race.
Mm-hmm.
Sainz with his appendix, Max Verstappen with his rear right brake. So they both missed out one race so far this season. Still 11 points for Sainz. It would have been really interesting to see where he would stack up compared to Verstappen had he taken part in Saudi Arabia. I'm pretty sure it's very likely that he would be leading this championship at this stage. Is it just, you know, 2022 and 2023 where for the first few races, Charles Leclerc had a chance or Sergio Perez had a chance and then we get to round six or seven and it's like, yeah, Max is, you know, 50 points clear now.
I don't know, though. I think something might go wrong at Red Bull. Maybe there's just a little bit of a curse on them at the minute and something will happen. And whether that's things going on with the team or the reliability of the car, I don't think Red Bull have got it now. And that gives everyone else who's not a Red Bull fan a lot of optimism because it's like, right, can Ferrari come or can McLaren? I don't think we'll be seeing Mercedes, unfortunately, this year. But it leaves that space open for other teams and that's what you want in Formula One. You don't want that one consistent winner from a driver point of view or a team point of view. You want a little bit of variety, don't you? And if that means Ferrari, because I think if Ferrari, let's just say, it's a dreamland. And Ferrari have won the Constructors' Championship and we have a Ferrari driver that's won the driver standings. What does that mean for next year then?
Yeah.
Because what if it's Sainz? Mm. What if Sainz? I know this is all what ifs and probably not going to happen. But what if Sainz comes out on top and then do Ferrari go, oh, we've actually made a little bit of a mistake here.
Yeah.
We've got Hamilton. So what a great move. But oh, we've just lost a really good driver that could have kept us within those like wins for the constructors or for the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that it's ever happened in Formula One. Ones that I know off the top of my head, Damon Hill, 96, won a championship, left the team. Villeneuve, 97, left the team. I think even Mansell as well. Williams had definitely a running joke of it. Oh, you're going to win a championship in our car, but we're also going to get rid of you for next season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I feel like it's not the first time that it's happened, so it would be very interesting for it to happen. And yeah, maybe there is a little bit of optimism on the horizon. I heard from after the race that Sergio Perez was asked the question, if Max was in this race, would he have still been at the top fighting? And he didn't think so. Obviously, I feel like as a teammate, you're going to say that, especially when you finished fifth, I believe it was in that race, maybe fourth. Not as good there for Sergio Perez. But maybe he is right. Maybe there is something in those types of circuits that the car might struggle with. So we'll have to wait and see. We are still only three races in. Mm-hmm. We've seen three different versions of tracks. Bahrain's very much straight, heavy braking zones, a little bit of a wiggly bit in the midsection, but and also they all did loads of testing before going there.
Yeah.
Saudi, very high speed, but also very sort of about being brave. You've got to really push the car through the corners, and if you push it too far, you're in the wall. So there's some people might hold back a little bit. And then Australia is very much, you know, four long DRS straights. Mm-hmm. So three different circuits so far this season. It'll be interesting to see how McLaren do going into Japan, because there's a lot of hype around them because they seem to be really good through the windy corners. Mm-hmm. And Japan has a lot of them. So it could be exciting to see McLaren maybe putting themselves up there.
And they're looking quite strong now. I think it was the first race I was like, no, I've called it. McLaren have got no...
Made the right decision because start of the season's not going well.
I am a big Hamilton fan, and this is why I feel so conflicted. And I'm a massive Charles Leclerc fan as well, so I feel so conflicted right now because those questions are circulating around my head. I'm like, oh, I don't think they've made the right decision. And maybe, you know, Hamilton moves to Ferrari and then he blows everyone away and he's amazing. He's found his mojo again because he's in a different team and he's in a better car. But I'm just not... Unfortunately, my mind is not showing me that. Mm-hmm. My mind is showing me that it's going to take him a few races and maybe even a whole season to get up to scratch with the Ferrari. I do think Carlos Sainz is the stronger driver. Yeah. And I don't want to say that. I was like, Charles all the way. Charlie's a stronger driver. You know, he loves that team and the team loves him. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, what have you done? But then again, I don't think Hamilton should have stayed in Mercedes. So would he, you know, realistically go to Red Bull? Would there ever be a world
I don't think
where
they would ever
go to Red Bull?
They would ever bring him on for Red Bull. I don't think he would go there either.
Exactly.
But then you never know. If the opportunity arises and it's a championship winning car, then, you know, maybe you'd be like, cool, yeah, let's go for it. But would Horner put him alongside Max Verstappen?
That would just be
I feel like Max wouldn't care because Max would be like, cool, I'll go try and beat him. I think that's very much as Max's mentality of like, put me next to whoever you want.
Yeah.
He thinks he's better than everybody. And at the moment, he's proving that to be right.
But that would just be crazy. I think the whole Abu Dhabi controversy will just get digged up again and everyone will be chatting about that all the time because... He's in Red Bull. How can he go to a team, you know, that kind of messed him over? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't think it would ever happen. But then where else would he go? I would not put him in any other team. Ferrari seems like the only place that he could go.
Do you feel like they made the wrong decision to bring in Hamilton or the wrong decision to let Sainz go instead of Leclerc? Which one of those two?
Unfortunately, I do think... No, it's super difficult because you can't imagine them letting Leclerc go at all.
Yeah.
And I can't, again, see Leclerc in any other team. It just wouldn't make any sense to me. But then again, I do think, like I say, Sainz is a stronger driver.
Yeah.
So I do think if I was not biased at all and I was a team principal and sat down and making all the decisions, I would go off the statistics and I would go, Sainz is, you know, outperforming. Yes, it's not saying that in the standings because, you know, he's missed a race and he's been ill, but look at him. He seems like he's got more pace. He seems like he's more level-headed. He just seems more of that overall driver that you would love to have in the team. Charles is an amazing driver and you can't take that away from him, but there's just a few little errors I think we see with him, and I don't know what that is, whether it's his driver craft or mentality or reliability with the car, whatever it is. You don't see that as much in signs.
Yeah.
So I would say see you later, Leclerc. I'm so sorry.
Damn.
Keep you signs. And yeah, let's try something different and let's bring in Hamilton.
Damn. Okay.
I hate saying that, though. Yeah, it hurts
I
my heart.
I feel the pain.
I hate it.
I feel the pain.
I'm crying.
I do feel like, in a sense of giving Leclerc the benefit of the doubt, is that when they had a decent car, 2022, he was the better driver. And yeah, he outscored Carlos Sainz, but I think it was like 50 points, if I just quickly have a little look at the driver's standings on my laptop here. Charles Leclerc got 308 points and Carlos Sainz got 246. So yeah, about 50 points difference between the two of them, mm-hmm, when there was a more dominant car and a car to fight for the championship. I do feel like, though, Charles let that championship slip away a lot earlier than he could have done. I do think that it was inevitable that it was going to be Max's. I think, mm-hmm, the car was just so much better, the development across the season, and the car got better and better and better as we went through. But just little mistakes, France, Miami qualifying. I think there were just a few little errors that were coming in. Imola, I think, as well, where sadly he let that championship slip away a lot more, mm-hmm, than what actually happened. So, but then I saw another stat that was like, between the two of them, since 2021, they've both got the same amount of wins. Mm-hmm. Charles Leclerc has so many more pole positions, more podiums, more points scored.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that if you can iron out those inconsistencies potentially, or is it down to the car? Is it down to strategy? You look at those race wins, and to be honest, you can probably pick out a lot of them and say that it was down to maybe team error or team strategy, mm-hmm, that cost the race wins, or reliability, you know, the first one in Bahrain where the engine went. So it's a difficult one to choose. And I think they're two very similar drivers, that it's a difficult, really difficult when you add that third driver of Lewis Hamilton into the mix, that it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think they needed to add Lewis Hamilton to the team.
They didn't.
But
that's the thing.
You know, I'm excited because I like Lewis Hamilton, and yeah, I've always wanted to see him in a Ferrari, because I think, you know, Sebastian Vettel said it very well. Everybody's a Ferrari fan, even if it's just a smidge. Mm-hmm. You're still just a smidge of a Ferrari fan. Yeah. So I am excited to see that. But yeah, I'm like, did they really need to do that?
Difficult, yeah, isn't it? But then at the same time, it saved Hamilton's reputation, because if he stays in Mercedes and he's still getting P8 and P9 and P7, yep, people around him are... It's the question as a driver gets older and they stay in the sport is, oh, they've lost, mm-hmm, it now. They've been in the sport for too long. They need to go. And those, mm-hmm, questions, you know, are already surrounding Hamilton. The more he stays in the sport in that position, he's going to get way
Aston
more.
Martin.
Exactly. And then they have to retire.
Yeah.
And then they start doing a different sport. So it's the best move for him. But is it the best move for Ferrari? I don't think so. But you know what? We can be proved wrong. And that's the thing with Formula One. I think people see, or it might be a criticism towards, mm-hmm, Formula One, that fans change their mind quite, mm-hmm, a bit. But if one day a driver's doing amazingly, next minute they're not. You know, look at Danny Ric. He's got a massive fan base. But I'm sure a lot of those fans are going, oh, what's going on at the minute?
Yeah.
And then you do maybe support a different driver, a different team, because, you know, he's not performing well, and then he might leave the sport. And naturally, you have to find someone else to support. So you're going to see that on Formula One. One minute, you might think Sainz is not the best driver. Mm-hmm. Then the next day, you're like, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
He's going to win. So
recency bias is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ferrari's made like a bad decision. I think they've got a good all round. You notice how sometimes you're like, oh, you know, no matter what happens, something bad was going to happen. Whereas this is, no matter what happens, something good's going to happen. They've, mm-hmm, got three really good drivers to pick from there. And I think all of them can perform very well in the car. And I think they can all be actually fairly similar across the season.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see how they stack up, because if Lewis gets slaughtered by Charles Leclerc, then it's, you're going to look at that and go, it's been an amazing career, but maybe it is time to hang up the racing gloves and go and do something else. Or are you happy just to be enjoying racing like Kimi Räikkönen did, mm-hmm, and you don't matter whereabouts you are in whatever team, you're just enjoying being
just
a Formula One driver and just enjoying racing.
I can't imagine Hamilton not in Formula One. Mm. I remember when there's like questions about this, I think it was like 4 years ago, you know, when's Hamilton going to leave?
Everyone just wants him to retire.
I know.
Like, he's never going to retire.
Yeah, he's going to stay there and prove it.
For me, he's an Alonso mindset. He will just keep on going until he can't.
Yeah, because he doesn't listen to the outside noise. Mm-hmm. Like, he will obviously hear it, but he's not taking any notice. Maybe he might comment on it, or he doesn't, and he just carries on doing, mm-hmm, what he wants to do. And that's what I love about Hamilton, because we've seen that some people say, you know, he's bigger than the sport because he's brought a lot of attention to the sport from people that, you know, have no interest in motorsport. Yeah. He's got his like music career and his fashion career, and he's got so many things going for him. I just can't imagine him not in Formula One.
Yeah.
It would just be crazy to me, but it has to happen. You know, he's going to leave at some point. But it just, I can't picture that in my head. And I think it'll be the same with Verstappen. You know, give it another 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is.
Maybe even five if his comments
are true.
If he
gets bored as well and he's like, see you later, I'm going to a different sport, then I can't imagine it. But isn't that sad that it's like certain drivers, you can't imagine not in the sport, and others, you're like, oh, well.
Yeah, I can't imagine my boy Lance Stroll out of the sport.
Leaving the sport.
Be sad. No, yeah, no, certainly. Like, even someone like Alonso, and I know he dipped away from it for a while, and he is another driver that was in a mediocre team, and it's like, yeah, you know, is Alonso really as good as he is? And then obviously he comes back to Alpine, and everyone's like, why is this old man coming back and taking a seat off someone who's a Renault junior driver? And then he comes in and it's just like, blows everyone away. And it's like, you know, these drivers are there for a reason, and I think they are entitled to be there for as long as they want. I think Kimi Raikkonen was entitled to stay at, you know, at Sauber, at Alfa Romeo for as long as he wanted, because he's earned that right by being such a great driver of the sport in those previous years. I think Lewis Hamilton has that right as well. I think Max Verstappen, I think Fernando Alonso, they all have that right. Even Sebastian Vettel, when, you know, in my opinion, I feel like he went too early, but in other people would be like, no, he went at the right time. You know, I feel like some people just have those.
It's just a difference of opinion. But then what's your opinion on obviously bringing in drivers that have been in the sport before, and then you are taking away the opportunity for younger drivers or people that have never been in F1 before?
Depends if they're proven. Like, I think Nico Hülkenberg coming back, I completely agree with it. Like,
I was
sad that he went, because I do think he is a really good driver. I think he's a Sergio Perez, Valtteri Bottas-esque driver. And I know there'll be people listening and be like, what's so rubbish? And I'm like, no. Like, just because they're not a world champion material, just because they cannot be a world champion, they're not a Lewis Hamilton or a Fernando Alonso or a Max Verstappen, does not mean they don't deserve to be in Formula One. You can still be a really good driver that is a great number two role in a team. And I do think that Nico Hülkenberg at a lower team is a great asset to any of those teams down there, because his qualifying is unreal. And I feel like he's a consistent driver as well. In a top team, do I think that he could potentially bring it home? Not to the likes of Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen and Alonso. I think he can do a decent job in there. And would he do better or worse than Sergio? I don't know. We haven't seen it. But I do think he's a good driver to bring back. If you were to bring back a Nicholas Latifi, for example, because there was money there, then you'd be like, okay, maybe not. Maybe that's the wrong. As much as a lovely guy he is, as a Formula One driver, he didn't quite cut it in the team and was outshone by his teammate. So for some people, yes, some people know, but it's the same with junior drivers. Like, some drivers come up and they have a great junior career, and then all of a sudden they get to Formula One and they just don't necessarily perform as well. I think because maybe so much pressure is put on them. Like, you, especially when you have drivers come through like a Charles Leclerc, and they've won everything along the way. Lando Norris won pretty much everything along the way, and they have so much hype about them. Same with Oscar Piastri. And then they are compared to those drivers. Oscar Piastri, great rookie season, cement himself in Formula One as someone, yes, okay, let's watch this guy over the future. But because he's also come in alongside Nick De Vries and Logan Sargeant, straight away, those guys are measured against Oscar Piastri, which is fair. They're all rookies, so they all should be, you know, it's a fair assessment. But sometimes this sport is very harsh because we've only got a few seats.
Well, exactly. You've only got 20 places. Yeah. You have to be the best of the best. And if you show, I think, slight inconsistency or errors that they cannot take, or a lack of aggressive mentality, unfortunately, you're out. They're not going to keep you in, or they're not going to bring you in. So there is that problem there. But I do think F1 is super difficult. Never driven an F1 car, so I'm just going on a whim here. But you'll see drivers that are in F1 don't do super well, go to a different series, and they perform amazingly. So yes, it's the pressure, or is it the car, or whatever the variable is. I think that really comes into it. Like Grosjean, you know, when F1 gets a lot of stick, gets this name of being a really bad driver, and then
and
he goes to other series
gets
and
exactly
just
the same thing.
No, he's doing well.
He's doing all right. He's still yet to get a race win in IndyCar, but hopefully it will come
soon.
But
you know, he's doing. I think a lot better
than in F1. And, yeah, he definitely impressed in his first season, and had some good results there. I do think that other formulas and other series is a lot more competitive. There's obviously, you've got Formula E, which is a spec series pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, there's different power units and stuff like that. But most of the time, the cars are fairly similar.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, you know, seven different race winners in the first seven different races and stuff like that. Like, that's very easy to come by. And I do think that's when, you know, as a driver, you've got to really try and shine. And same with IndyCar. I do think IndyCar has got, there is differences in the cars for sure.
Yeah.
You have your top teams and you have your lower down teams, but I don't think the gap is as big as Formula One. Like, yeah. Formula One, Red Bull's up here. Ferrari, sometimes here, but sometimes here. And then you've got McLaren, Mercedes, Aston Martin in this little cluster together. And then you drop down even further and then you've got the bottom five teams. So there's a massive difference, which mm-hmm. is very weird because we come in with a cost cap and, you know, aero time reduced for the winners.
Well, I think it's closed.
And we're further away.
The gap has closed slightly, but it's still massive. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's never going to be super, super close racing. But I do think, you know, when you see Albon, mm-hmm. Williams, not this season, but, you know, in past seasons, you say they're probably one of the lowest performing teams. But you see Albon now nearly getting into the points. Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely been a change there, and the cost cap has brought some benefits to the sport, but not enough. I think all it does is just change the bottom end
yeah.
of the grid. So then it's like, oh, maybe Alpine are going to yeah, be yeah. really bad, or maybe Kvyat are going to be bad this year.
What it does is it sadly stops really great seasons. Like, let's take 2009, for example. New regulations came in. Brawn got it absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Toyota also, I believe, got it pretty good. So they were up at the top. Red Bull were doing really well. McLaren and Ferrari absolutely sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But because they had the money and the finances, they could spend. And by the end of the season, they were... Lewis got a race win, I think, in Budapest in Hungary. I think the Ferraris were a better car by the end of the season. And Red Bull were able to develop their car further than Brawn were to be able to make it a championship fight in the end, where Brawn was now finishing, you know, P7s instead of winning the first seven races that they did. But instead, Red Bull were at the top end of the field. Mm-hmm. So they were catching them up. And you sadly just don't get that. And whilst... there's pros and cons for sure to it, because Mercedes can be just like, every season, cool, we're just going to spend the most amount of money, same as Ferrari, it's us two at the top, and everybody's just got to try and compete with us. I'm not the smartest man in the world, so I don't know what the right way is.
Don't put yourself down like that, Hayden.
I don't know what the actual right way is to get it spot on.
Yeah.
But there has to be a way that allows those teams to catch up throughout a season so that, yeah, okay, Red Bull, they can dominate the first three races and be like, wow, okay, this is looking strong. But then at the end of the season, they've fallen down the order and you're having a Mercedes, a Ferrari and Aston like really, and McLaren really start to catch them up, that we're like, oh my God, we're actually got a really good championship battle
mm-hmm.
at the end of the season.
Yes, then it mixes it up slightly. I just think there's so many different things that F1 can be doing, and it's not easy because, like you say, we're not the smartest people.
Smaller
we
cars,
don't know.
Lighter cars.
Tick.
Different engines.
Closer racing.
Sound. I sound like such an old man.
But it's true.
I'm an old
true.
Man, but it is true. Like,
exactly.
You look at the 2007, 2008 era, and it's like the cars are so light and agile, and they just look faster. They mm-hmm. just look so much faster, whereas these ones look slow and sluggish, even though they're not. Mm-hmm. Like,
but in comparison,
yeah.
technically, they kind of are, if mm. you're going to go to the intricate details. But also, I think the atmosphere that it brought when the engines were louder,
mm-hmm.
and there's more of that closer racing. You know, people love to go into spectate and watch these sports, whereas now, if it's, you know, Max Verstappen wins and Monaco, the cars are huge, you know what yeah. I mean? So they can't overtake yeah. at all on that track. And we see it a little bit, but not as much. It takes a lot away, yeah. I think, doesn't it, from the buzz of going to actually watch the race. And it's still amazing. And no one's saying it's so boring. Mm. We're not going to go. Otherwise, the grandstands would yeah. not be full. But there's a few little changes. I think we also need to see that top teams, like two top teams, two driver rivalry, like we see in the past,
yeah, yeah.
you know, with Lauda and Hunt and Senna and Prost. I think we need that back because that's kind of the essence of Formula mm. One, where, yes, okay, the teams are all over the place. It's not super close racing, but normally at the front,
yeah, yeah.
you've got those top two drivers yeah. in two completely different teams that are going head to head. And there's a little bit of drama mm-hmm. off track as well. They don't hate each other, but there's that animosity yeah, yeah. that they might play up to. I think you kind of need things like that back. And mm-hmm. this brings me on to Drive to Survive, because Drive to Survive tries to fabricate all of this
yeah.
and make all of this when it's not even going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can tell it's not realistic anymore. And people that have been watching the sport for longer than Drive to Survive, or even when it started, go, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
That's fake. And that's the massive criticism to Drive to Survive. So they need to listen to our podcast, WTF1 podcast, Drive to Survive, you're listening. And or Formula One in general, we need to get that top two driver rivalry back. And that will be an amazing narrative for the next Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I mean, you look at people complain about the Verstappen era being like, oh, it's so dominant, it's boring. And then the Verstappen fans are like, well, you weren't saying this during the Hamilton era.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few years, yes, where
it was maybe a bit dull. The Hamilton era.
But the 2014 to 2016, you still had Rosberg versus Hamilton. Like, you had two drivers in the same team mm-hmm. that were fighting for 3 years. Then you had Vettel from a different team. And then you had maybe 2020 and 2021 that was a bit more one-sided for sure.
It was the Hamilton
2020 and 2019.
I was going a bit like, a little bit snooze for Mercedes, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. Because it's just Hamilton winning all the time and Bottas wasn't winning. He was winning every now and then.
It's very similar to now, you know, like Perez will get last season, got a few race wins. We're like, oh, maybe this is the season. Mm-hmm. It's like, bye-bye, see you later. Have a good time. I think, so we said lighter cars.
Yes.
Louder.
Mm-hmm.
More agile, and I think F1's kind of shot itself in the foot in a sense that we are the fastest motorsport, and because of that it's pushing the cars to be faster and faster and faster. And then it also, in doing so, you make, for example, a way to make a car faster is if I can brake later, therefore I can carry more speed down that straight.
Mm-hmm.
I can brake later and take more speed through the corner. But because the braking zones are so short, it's now less likely to be able to lunge one up the inside because there's not a big braking distance to send that overtake. Mm-hmm. So just make the brakes a little bit worse.
Yeah.
And then we get bigger braking zones. Yes, okay, the cars are going to be slower and the lap times are going to be lower and we're not going to be able to beat the lap times of 2020. But who cares? Who cares at the end of the day? Let's have good racing.
I can never say the word. It's the innovativity. That is the
innovativity. The great thing about Formula One.
Innovative. That's the thing, because they're pushing mm-hmm. that, aren't they? They're making, you know, different specs and incorporating all this technology, and that's with the V6 hybrid engines or power units, mm-hmm. we should say. They technically can make them loud. They can make them, but then it's the noise pollution aspect. They're mm-hmm. trying to bring everything more, make it more sustainable. That falls into noise as well. So they have to bring that down, even though they can. You know, like Formula E cars, they sound a bit naff, don't they? But if they wanted to... I couldn't believe, when I went to my first Formula E race, I was like, what was that? But that's not the sound of the car, is it? Surely not. So if they wanted to, they can, you know, make a computer-generated sound mm-hmm. and make them sound amazing. It's not sustainable anymore
mm-hmm.
because it's the noise pollution. So it's not obviously the carbon pollutions or what they're emitting from the cars or the logistics, whatever it is. It's that as well. So you're never going to get those loud mm-hmm. engines anymore, which is a bit of a shame. Everyone loves a loud, noisy, smelling of petrol engine, which, you know, we just don't get that anymore. But
not apparently people who live next to a racetrack. I remember there was like a news article from USA Track Laguna Seca, and people were complaining to get like the circuit shut down because it's very loud and noisy for them. And I'm like, well, you're an idiot for buying a house next to a race circuit. It's been there for so long. Yeah. You didn't just go into that and go, oh, wait, that's there. No, you knew it was there.
That
you
actually
bought the
happened.
House.
There's a karting track near me and they've started building houses mm-hmm. there or apartments. And then people have complained, you know, about the track. And I thought, the track was there before you.
Sorry,
like, what?
No.
You don't buy something near a track. So they had to... I think tailor the carts a little bit as well and tinker with it to not make them as loud. Because I was like, you need to get the D-Max carts in because they don't have D-Maxes there. They're like, we can't because it just goes over the noise pollution.
It's just such a shame, especially for like Formula One then having a noise pollution regulation. I guess that's maybe a thing that when they go to city circuits, and maybe it's more likely that those are put in place then. But it's, you know, one weekend a year. Surely you can just be like, look, this one weekend, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to accept it. I'm sorry. Like, it's just a little bit of noise for 2 hours on a Sunday.
And that's
an hour on a Saturday. Maybe 2 hours on a Saturday as well. Like,
Friday, Saturday,
just
Sunday.
The whole weekend once a year. Just allow it, all right?
The thing is,
it's going to be okay.
They could do that, but then there's a fine, isn't there? They'll just have to pay more money to allow whatever area. But if you're Formula One and you've got a lot of money, maybe it's something to look into.
Absolutely disgusting. How dare they limit our sound? But hopefully Formula One can look towards 2026 and we can maybe see a bit closer fighting, because I think that's the biggest problem, is the following hasn't really been fixed. And Ollie Bearman really kind of said it when he jumped in the car and was just like, wow, I really, you know, it's a big difference from jumping from F2, where we can get really close. And the racing in F2 and F3 around Australia was brilliant. Yeah. Like, there was great racing.
My dad stopped watching F1 and he never really watched F2 or F3. Because obviously he was just a Formula One fan, that was it. And he was like, you know, it's too much to watch everything. And now he stopped watching F1 and he watches F2 and F3, and he just thinks that's way more exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's so much more exciting because cars can follow. And then as soon as these regulations just sadly have not fixed following. And again, I'm not a smart man, so I don't know the exact fix. In my head, I'm like, just strip all the aero back, go back to how the cars were
easy
in like
peasy.
Early 90s. That was the best looking shape of a Formula One car. Make them safer, make those cars so they're up to today's safety standards. The brakes still good, but not as good as we have now. And then bish bash bosh, wow, we have Formula One.
You know what you should
sign
do
me up,
do
done.
A George Russell and get a presentation going,
yeah,
and just send it over to F1. I will just clap in the background, I'll just support you and go, you go Hayden. No, that's the thing, there's so many changes, but they're not easy, aren't they? People can just say, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. But yeah, it probably isn't going to happen. And the more the society and world becomes more tech-based, Formula One is just going to follow that.
The problem is that...
Go on.
The engineers are a lot smarter than the people who make the rules, I think. Because they just find the loopholes and they are innovative.
It's a difficult word to say, isn't it? Innovative.
Yeah, they are amazing. And they're so clever that they will just find a loophole and they'll be like, cool, yeah, now we're going to do this. Because like these regulations were supposed to set out and it's like, cool, we're going to throw the air up really high in the air so then you don't get affected by the aero wash and the air comes under the car and we're going to make sure it's really clean when it comes out so it will not affect the car behind and then get really close. And then a team's gone, okay, cool, we're going to just, we found this loophole, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then that can just sort of upset the air a little bit behind and then that's going to unsettle the car that's behind me. And then we're back to where we were. And that's just the problem that I think we're just always going to have in Formula One. And the only real fix is the worst one, which is Spec Series, which I disagree with, because that's what sets F1 apart, that you come to a new season of regulations and you look at all the different cars, you're like, oh, they're doing that, and they're doing that, and they're doing this, and oh, that looks different. Whereas you get a Formula E or you get an Indy car and, you know, the cars look fairly similar, I think,
and it's all kind of on the driver then, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, there's been critique though. I've seen this, and now there's more suction coming from under the cars. And I was reading an article recently, I think it was like 3 weeks ago or something. And I actually forgot the person who was talking in it, apologies for this, but they were saying that the cars shouldn't be that low and there shouldn't be so much suction coming from the ground. Like that was a critique of the engineering. So I think when it is innovative. We got there in the end. When it's innovative and amazing and it's groundbreaking, there's this new type of engineering that we've not seen in F1 before, someone else is going to come out the woodwork and say, no, strip it back. Don't do that. It's actually causing more problems. So I do think you're never going to win. Never, ever, ever in F1 going to win unless Adrian Newey. Yeah. You're a Red Bull and you're winning all the time.
Or Sainz, he got a win.
Let's see if we can get more Sainz wins, please. I'm praying for that.
Welcome to the WTF1 Hot Takes of the Week, where you send us your hot, spicy takes, and myself and the amazing Amber Jones, we dissect them, we break them down, and we tell how spicy they are going to be. Amber, you excited?
Very excited. Let's hope we got some spicy hot takes.
Well, the first one's going to come in from @AndrewR31 over on Twitter, and they say, as a Hamilton fan, I think Sainz will outperform him in 2025.
Spicy, because as a Hamilton fan myself, I don't want to say it, Hayden. I don't want to. But unfortunately, I kind of agree with this hot take. No, actually.
we've rolled it back. You've now thought about it.
I'm thinking, do I support Hamilton? Do I stick with my guns here? But it's hard to say, because if you look at how this season's gone, of course, you know, Sainz is outperforming in the
Ferrari.
Where
will Sainz be?
That's why I stopped Hayden. That's why I thought, oh no. Because if Sainz is in a Red Bull, then I do think he will be outperforming Hamilton in the Ferrari. But if Sainz is in a midfield team or a lower end team, then no. So it really depends on the situation, the circumstance for this one. Because Hamilton should technically be the more experienced driver and be better. But we might not see that. And we're not seeing that Mercedes because Mercedes is struggling so much this season. Yeah. So it's a really hard one. It is spicy for me, but can't say fully. That's where I'm going with this
fence.
One.
Back on the fence again.
I've not been on the fence for a while as well. I've been doing amazing, but
you are back.
This one's too difficult because we don't have the circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, I can fully understand that. If it goes to Red Bull, I think it would be a yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Ferrari able to fight Red Bull next season, but I do think it's unlikely that it could happen. I just feel like Red Bull have such an advantage, and this season more than last season at the moment, because at least in qualifying, Ferrari were close and they were able to just snag a pole position here and there. But this season, every single session, I think qualifying session, Verstappen has been 2 tenths clear. I think it's been consistent across the three. So, yeah. Like, at the moment, it looks like it's got further away, at least in quali, and then in race pace, it's also been quite far away, bar Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't able to see exactly what Verstappen could have done there. He could have been miles up the road, or he could have been, you know, behind the Ferraris, like Sergio Perez claimed that they were going to be. So I think if he's there, yes. I think Red Bull, he would do better than Hamilton. Anywhere else, though, it's a no for me. He's not going to McLaren. McLaren are locked in. So it's either a Mercedes, an Aston, or is it lower down the field getting ready for Audi at stake? So if it's there, no.
See? Sitting exactly. on the fence no, also, Aiden. No, it's
I
a difficult
you up,
one.
I agree.
Exactly. You're agreeing with me
I'm
because
a hypocrite.
You heard it first, everyone. Aiden said that. I think also because Hamilton is then going to come to Ferrari, a team that might celebrate him, you know what I mean? They're really going to support him and work with him. Whereas if Sainz goes over to Red Bull, and like I always say, the philosophy of Red Bull is we are favourite in Max Verstappen. We're probably not going to put much support into the second driver. We just want you to be consistent to help our number one driver. So if Sainz gets that treatment, even if he's in a Red Bull, he actually might not outperform Hamilton. If Hamilton gets that, yes, it's Lewis Hamilton. Oh my gosh, it's the GOAT coming to our team. He's going to bring amazing sponsorship and marketing for us. He's also an amazing driver. So hopefully he gets in the points, gets us, you know, high in the constructors for himself and the driver standings. He's going to be celebrated. I don't think Sainz is going to be met with the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, to be fair, because Sergio Perez right now, 46 points in the championship. Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari, 47, so one point ahead. And Sainz, who has missed a race, is 6 points behind Sergio Perez. So, yeah, I mean, you do make a good point that the car would be definitely tailored to Max. You know, what Max wants, they're going to go with because he's the number one driver. That's completely fair. And, you know, anyone who says that's a bad thing to do is, you know, wrong. I think, you know, it's the right thing to do. You would go
You're
with your lead driver.
Your winning driver.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's difficult. It's really difficult. What are you rating this on spiciness?
In terms of how much has made my head hurt, it's a 5 because I don't know which way to go. I'm unsure. Let's stick it on a 4. Definitely a spicy one. I definitely think it would divide a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't know where science is, it makes it a lot harder. If we knew where science was, then I think I could give you a yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I can't, but I'm just going to go with my fanboy favouritism, and it will be Lewis Hamilton will be doing better. That's
so
what my fan.
That's what the
inner, that's
and
what the
Lewis
fanboy
gonna outperform signs.
Yeah,
yeah. Hayden, I actually agree with you on this one, but I'm gonna put it at a 3.
Okay,
because it can go either way. You know what I mean? It can be less spicy, or it could be really spicy. But I don't know. I can't tell you. So I'm gonna sit right in the middle at a 3.
Okay.
But if I had to have an opinion, yeah, I think Hamilton ultimately is going to outperform Sainz, because now I'm thinking obviously the whole Red Bull situation if he doesn't get favourited as the driver. So it's a 3 on my scale.
Unless it's back-to-back championships for Carlos Sainz 2024 and 2025. Who knows? On to the next hot take, and this one comes from at Utal. This is also from Twitter, and they say the next new world champion is not currently on the grid.
Oh, now that is a spicy one.
So that means
that's a very spicy
that
one.
At the moment, until the next one, we're going to get championships from Verstappen, Hamilton, or Alonso, because they're the only champions on the grid.
That just
so no
that
Norris,
just outrules every
no
other
Russell,
driver.
No Leclerc, no Sainz, no Perez.
Unfortunately, I have to agree.
Really?
I really don't think, because if I'm looking at the grid now,
but who is that new? Who's that driver not on the grid then?
Well, we don't know, because you could say
you can look at F2. F3?
Yeah, but you could say, oh, it could be Liam Lawson or it could be Ollie Berman, but you don't know that because they might come into F1 and have a stinker of the first few seasons or the first season if they don't make it into another season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this one's really spicy because I just don't see any other driver on the grid at the minute that hasn't already won a world champion being the world champion. I don't think Charles has a chance, unfortunately. Unless in some crazy world, Max Verstappen's not in the sport and Charles is in the Red Bull. I don't see it being Sainz. I don't see it being Norris or Piastri or any of them until Max Verstappen's removed from the sport. If Max isn't in it, then yes, potentially it's 10-time
world champion,
grid.
Max Verstappen, incoming. So no Alonso sneaking one in there, no Hamilton sneaking one in there.
Only if something goes wrong at Red Bull.
Damn, okay.
Because
even
if you
bring
in...
Even after new regulations as well.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm making this bold statement because I think even if you bring in, let's say Alonso goes to Red Bull,
I still think
Max...
What year will this change? What year will we get the new winner? How much are you going to disappoint F1 fans here?
20...
We're in the 2000s
18.
At least.
No, well, it depends, obviously, because if something goes wrong at Red Bull, then they don't get the rules and regulations.
On a date. Come on.
Max Verstappen will leave the sport in 20... What year are we in now? 2024. Let's say 2036.
Okay, 2036? Oh, my God.
So what's going to happen is...
very difficult.
If something goes wrong at Red Bull, and then Ferrari are the next top team, then... Potentially, but if Hamilton's still in Ferrari, then I think it'd be Hamilton who's the world champion. This one's really hurting my brain, Hayden.
I think if Max Verstappen was winning the championship up until 2036, I honestly even think that the Dutch would also get bored of it. I think even they would stop showing up.
Is anyone even watching F1 anymore at this point? I think Max a few more years and then...
I'm looking at this, I'm like, Kimi Antonelli... But in F2, he's not really like, he's not blowing the field away at the moment. And there's been a little bit of problems with Prema. They've not been as strong as they usually have been. Bahrain, they really struggled. But Saudi, obviously, Behrman put it on pole. And I think there was better performances in Australia. But is it Kimi Antonelli? He's obviously the one that's hyped up, but then goes to Mercedes. Mercedes could get the regulations right. And he could be in the prime seat in 2026 to be champion.
You just never know what's going to happen because even if you've got an amazing, strong driver, if the car's not performing and the team is having a stinker, then it doesn't really matter on how good that driver is. So, yes, let's say, you know, Mercedes get it right on the next round of new rules and regulations or Ferrari get it right and then Red Bull starts slipping under, then there's room for a new world champion.
Kind of stabbing in the dark, really, here. Yeah. And if we're going to go stabbing in the dark, then I'm going to say I disagree with it and Oscar Piastri is going to be our next new world champion.
I'm not mad at that statement, you know. I actually think if I had to pick, Piastri's showing that he's really strong. So see you later, Max. Put Piastri in a Red Bull and I agree.
Only in a Red Bull. I'm saying, come on, McLaren, just do some bits.
In a McLaren.
Sort it out. Get the car good.
Hayden,
wins.
My head is hurting from this one.
Where are we
this
rating
is
it?
Very
spicy.
I like this one. It's a nice debate, though. But again, can't say. It's all what ifs and what's going to happen. No.
You've gone for so long.
No. I'm going to rate it. No, I'm giving it a 5. I'm going super spicy. What's the top spice at Nando's?
I think it's just
hot and spicy
hot,
or whatever.
Yeah.
That one. I'm going
something
extra
like
hot for this one.
I will also go for a 5. I think this is very, very spicy. I think a lot of people will debate this. You've got so many fan bases be like, Norris fans are going to be like, no, how dare you? And then you're going to get like Russell fans be like, no, our one's going to, Leclerc fans be like, no. Even the Danny Rick fans are probably going to put his name in there.
Not going to comment on that.
But yeah, I think it's definitely up
super
there.
Spicy.
Very spicy one. And yeah, I disagree with it. Come on, Piastri. Win this one for me. Right, let's look at our last hot take of the week. This one comes over from our Facebook. And this comes from TOD Kenneth. And they say, Yuki Tsunoda, top 5 finish at Japan. In the RB. He's been slowly performing. Slowly picking up the
really
results.
You really back Yuki Tsunoda. So I feel like you're maybe leading... more or leaning more towards potentially, but in my head I'm thinking no, not top 5. I think that's way too high. I'd definitely say top 10, 100%, but definitely not top five, because if I had to pick off my head now, you know, you've got Max, Perez, Charles, Sainz. I don't think I'd put Yuki next. It'd be maybe a Mercedes or maybe a McLaren. So for me, automatically, I'm thinking no, too unrealistic.
Well, I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to say I also disagree with it, because I, like, yes, okay, he scored points last time out of Australia, but we lost the two Mercs and Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
That was three drivers not scoring points. And then Fernando Alonso got a penalty on top of that. So because of all of those things, that allowed him to finish in P7. If there is not a single retirement out of those top five teams, no one in the bottom five is scoring points, in my view. We saw it in Bahrain. None of them scored. Hülkenberg got a point in Saudi, but that was because Lance Stroll DNF'd.
Yeah.
So unless any of those top five teams DNF or have an absolute stinker, no. Or it
rains.
Which
I do, well, exactly. I do think something's going to go wrong for someone in that race.
For five people?
No, five
drivers?
I definitely think we're going to lose two people, or yeah, something happens where there's, you know, a safety car or the session stopped or something. So maybe people don't DNF, but something happens and he can gain those positions. Potentially he'll be in the top 10. Oh, no, I think he will be in the top 10 if he performs well. He has that pressure on him already. So I think top 10 is realistic. Top 5, super unrealistic.
Yeah, I'm looking at the weather right now and there's little hints of rain on the Sunday. But that is the only reason I think that something could happen, that it's just a crazy race.
But is it only light rain, so not enough for, you know, the
wet
to come out?
Sadly, I don't have the percentage levels. It only goes up to Wednesday.
Hayden, you're meant to be the weatherman.
Yeah, sorry. I've just got, there's a couple of clouds and one of them's raining. So I don't know if that's partially, but it looks like quite a lot of rain. So maybe it's heavy. I don't know what it means, but there could be
the worst weatherman in town.
A couple of drops coming on Sunday,
which is what we want, because that's going to make it super interesting. And then potentially, maybe we can take it back. Maybe he will get P5.
It's very, very heavy, and we just don't run on Sunday because they don't want to use the full wet tyres. So, yeah, let's hope it's not too rainy.
Not too much.
Just a little sprinkling. Intermediate weather. You know? And on and off. So it like dries and then it gets wet again and it dries and wet. And
the strategies
like back and forth.
Are going crazy and people are getting pit stops wrong and all sorts.
And then he will get a top five finish. And also five people still have to DNF. I just don't see it happening.
Poor unless... Yuki. What chance are we giving him here now?
It's not poor Yuki. It's just sadly the way that we have this top five teams and these bottom five teams. And the bottom five have just got to hope that something happens to those top fives. It's like, please, can I have a seat at the table tonight? Like,
but this season is showing us that things are going crazy. No one imagined a Max DNF this early on. I think people thought, you know, maybe potentially towards the end, but not this early on, which gives everyone this massive optimism for the next few races. But
then both Mercedes, I suppose, you know, maybe there's a problem with the Merc engine. So maybe McLaren could have some issues as well.
Or if there is a
Russell's one wasn't
DNF,
an engine.
But... And then Sainz, you know, wins, because we've seen this statistic going around that whenever Sainz wins, then George
crashes on the first or last lap. And also when Crofty says, and you can hear the crowd cheering, that's when he crashes. It happened at Singapore. If you watch it back, Singapore, Crofty's like, the crowd cheers. Oh, and George Russell's into the wall. And then Sainz is doing his last lap. As the crowd cheering for one last lap, oh, George Russell's crashed.
And then he's binned it.
So those are the sort of criteria that we need
to... So if we see that, they're the signs.
Yeah, so if Crofty says at any point crowd's cheering, George Russell is in big, big trouble. but yeah, so rating this as a spicy hot take, I don't think it's that spicy. I think it's like a two. I think it's like, you know, I'm a Yuki fanboy, but I'm also realistic. I think this is just someone who's a Yuki fan for sure, wants them to perform well, really hopes they get top five. And yeah, same. I also hope he gets top five. That'd be incredible. But realistically, it's going to need a lot of things to happen. So it's a two for me, spicy, and I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think if it was a different driver, maybe like the McLarens or the Aston Martins, because they could have a really good race and get, you know, P5, P6 or even P4 if something goes wrong with the top two teams. But yeah, with Yuki, unfortunately, I just don't see it happening, like you say, unless something else happens in that race, which I'm praying it does anyway. Keep it nice and interesting. Unfortunately, Yuki, it's a no for me. I'm going to rate it a three, because I think we had a nice debate there. Okay. I think there was a lot to talk about in relation to that, even though we both knew, like, no, it's not going to happen. But there were some nice things we can bounce off. So I'm giving that a three for that hot take.
I think today we've had some very spicy hot takes. I think we've had some good hot takes sent in. Once again, Amber, thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast. It's been a pleasure. Even though it was a slightly more quiet week in Formula One, hopefully we have a bit more to talk about over the rest of the coming weeks.
It's quiet, but I think there's still a lot to debate. There's still a lot going on off the track as well, which always makes it interesting. It's never a dull moment in F1, even when there's no breaking news.
Exactly. We get a nice sort of slow week this week, and then we ramp it up for Japan on next week's podcast.
Super excited.
And make sure you don't miss that one. Make sure you follow us on all of your audio devices that you want to listen to, and make sure you subscribe to us on our YouTube channel as well. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.